you know, happened early on the 4th of July morning. You know, just for everybody, there's a lot of loss there, and a lot of people, lives have changed on that day. It was great that we got the chance to celebrate America's birthday. But I thought about the, for those people, and just me thinking like, wow, you know, this day is going to be a little different for them going forward. So, man, you know, they're just going to remember on the 4th, this river just rose and took a lot of people. So pray, especially for the families. There was a Camp Mystic, housed over about 700, I think 50 girls there. I think last I heard was like 20 were still missing, could be more. It just came through in the middle of the night, early in the a.m. And so it's a real struggle, so pray for that. Also want to pray for Todd and Delisha. She got word that her cousin Evelyn passed away this morning. So pray for strength for the family, comfort, and strength for Todd and Delisha. It's never easy when a family member passes away, especially when there's history there. So keep them in your prayers on that situation there. So I want to make sure we are aware of that. Anything else we need to be aware of in prayer-wise before we get started?
Patricia's not feeling well today.
Okay. Pray for Patricia, make sure. Keeping your prayers. Also, Sharice as usual and everything. And just comfort and strength for a lot of people during their time of suffering. So pray for that. Yeah. Amen. So I'm going to open up with a prayer, and then we're going to just have a discussion. Let's do it. Father, we thank you so much for this morning. The fact that you allow us to be here this morning, Father, just to gather in your name for your glory, Father, and that we as a church would be encouraged. We pray a special prayer just for Delisha's cousin, Evelyn, Father, and just Delisha's whole family, Lord, just in the loss that the family is experiencing, Lord. We ask that you wrap your arms around the family, Lord. Help them to remember the good memories, never the bad memories, Father. Give them the right words to say, Father, and the right things to do, Lord, to encourage one another, Lord. And Father, let them know that you are still on the throne, Father, and that everything is going to be all right as we continue to move forward. I pray for the loss of life down in Texas, God, in the flood, Father. Be with those families, God. There's parents who are struggling with the loss of their child, Father. And I just ask that you, God, just strengthen those families. Continue to be with the authorities, the first responders, everybody down there, Father, who are working tirelessly, Lord, and help them to be safe, God, as they continue, Lord, to just administer the help that is needed, Father. And if there's anything that we can do, God, beyond prayer, help us, God, put it on our hearts to do more, Father. Be with the discussion today and the lesson, Lord. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Awesome. Awesome, God. So we're going to be in Ezra 5, going to be an interactive discussion here. Got to build. Keep building is what we're going to focus on, keep talking about. I'm going to read a little bit here. It says, the book of Ezra is a testament to God's faithfulness and the perseverance of his people. Ezra 5, in particular, speaks to the critical moment when the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem resumes after years of delay. This chapter is filled with hope, courage, and a reminder of how God's providence works in the midst of opposition. Today, let Ezra 5 inspire us to continue to build the church and rebuild those broken areas of our lives with faith and dedication, trusting in God's guidance. You know, at the end of Ezra 4, you know, with the building work of the temple coming to a halt for 15 years, God's people had encountered serious opposition. We ourselves, when we're faced with oppositions, we respond in many different ways. Sometimes we eat. I know people sometimes, man, with opposition, eating. But you know, when you eat a lot of food, puts on a lot of weight. You know, you just feel bloated, you know. And eating don't really fix nothing, because now you got another problem. But that's what we do sometimes when we face with oppositions. Sometimes we face with opposition, we shut down. We shut down. Really just can't accomplish nothing. Sometimes we become depressed, just down, and we just stay there for a long time, and we just kind of wallow in our self-pity. Sometimes we have anxiety attacks. It just overwhelms. It just happens when we face oppositions, you know. And sometimes oppositions can stop progress if we allow it to. And we have to be careful not to allow that. You know, in verse 1, we're introduced to Haggai and Zechariah, two prophets who each have books in the Bible containing their own prophetic words. These authentic Old Testament prophets arrived in Jerusalem and proclaimed the word of God. This restarts the building work on the temple. And we're going to read here in Ezra 5 and then just talk a little bit. Ezra 5 verse 1 says, "Now Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the prophet, a descendant of Iddo, prophesied to the Jews in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of God of Israel, who was over them. Then Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, and Joshua, son of Jozadak, set to work to rebuild the house of God in Jerusalem. And the prophets of God were with them, supporting them." What was true, what was true then is true today. For the church to be built, the word of God must be proclaimed. You have to ask yourself, are you proclaiming the word of God in your community? God's people hear God's word, hear God's voice, and are inspired to get on with God's work. This is what happened here in Judah. When Haggai and Zechariah showed up, they heard the word, and after 15 years of delay, they finally started working again because they were inspired by the word. When God speaks, things do happen. God's word is dynamic, powerful, and has authority. In Ezra 4, enemies of God's people had discouraged them, frightened them, and ganged up against them. Here, the word of God proclaimed by the prophets of God overcomes any opposition to God. So here's a question. What are the things of God that help you overcome opposition? You see, things are resources. What are the things of God that helps you when you're faced with opposition, helps you to overcome opposition?
His word. Turning to those scriptures that speak to the situation can give me peace, mm-hmm. that God is with me in whatever opposition I'm facing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. You know, yes, go ahead, Ty.
I'll read some scripture and may not fully understand it, so then I look at a bunch of different commentaries. That helps me a lot. I was looking up something this morning because I didn't quite understand what the scripture meant. So they helped out. There was a section in two different scriptures that seemed to be contradictory on their face. And we know God's word does not contradict itself. So
amen.
I definitely struggle with that.
Amen.
I think for me, I was looking at Psalms 139 this morning. I think just prayer, but I guess seeing how prayer is like modeled by some people in the Bible, and you know, I think changing like even the way I pray helps me. Like opposition, I guess, you know, like my own fears and like worries of like the future. I found that like helpful this morning. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah. I like the saying, "Wisdom comes at a price."
Uh huh.
And you go through a difficult time, and you have to remind yourself, this is preparing for the next time you have a situation. Not only you'll benefit for yourself, but you can benefit others because you've been through that, and you can help others.
Oh, go ahead.
One of the things I pray for whenever there's opposition is wisdom and discernment.
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom to get through a situation and discernment to be, just like Solomon, to be able to find out what is God trying to tell me through this opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Because usually there's a lesson that's to be learned.
A lot of times if I'm going through something,
I'll look at other people in the church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, if I know that, or, you know, throughout my history of being a disciple, and I can always remember people who have gone through far, far worse than I have,
mm-hmm.
and remained strong and faithful. Mm-hmm. And maybe just call them up, you know, and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. And the Bible tells us to seek out many counselors.
Mm-hmm.
Promises are yes and amen, which means I understand that that means that he keeps his promises and they will come to pass because he's not a man, so he just lies. So
mm-hmm.
that's for sure I agree on that.
Amen.
One,
amen.
One of the things I think about is how the Israelites. There was a time they came up against, there was a battle, and they didn't have to fight it. I don't know if it was to Zerubbabel, I don't know who was to pray for this. But they didn't have to fight it. God fought the battle, and I think that's what they're like.
Jehoshaphat.
Yeah.
Chronicles 21.
Yeah. So if God can do that,
mm-hmm.
right, he made the enemies fight against each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Israelites didn't have to do anything.
Yeah.
Then sometimes that helps me, especially when I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
Is to lean into that and say, well, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, can you do this little thing? Like it's a little thing in comparison to that big battle. And the battle is yours, right? So that gives me some peace.
Yeah.
Awesome. Ecclesiastes, it says there's nothing new under the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So anything that we go through in this lifetime has probably been gone through 10 billion times before.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, my desire to make it to heaven
mm-hmm.
is stronger than my desire to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, you know, there have been a billion other people who have gone through, you know, well, what Delicia is going through today.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody goes through.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do we give up? Because that is definitely an opposition.
Mm-hmm.
Do we give up and decide it's just not worth it
mm-hmm.
To fight for our faith and everything? Because we're going to go through that whether we're Christians or not.
Yeah.
So why not go through it as a Christian?
Mm-hmm.
You
know
what I mean?
Amen. 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 Yeah. Great stuff, great stuff. You know, as we share the word, there will be opposition.
Mm-hmm.
There will always be opposition. We will encounter enemies of the word. At times, opposition will appear to frustrate our ministry work. But when that happens, we must continually preach God's word. That's what builds God's church. And in Ezra 5:9-11, it says, let me give a little backdrop here before I read this part here. So, in a part of the scripture, you have the governor of the Trans-Euphrates, and you have the officials of the Trans-Euphrates. Once again, it's kind of Judas facing the same thing again. They get questioned. Who authorized you to build this? That's what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, who gave you permission to start building? And really, it's nothing but the devil saying, we got to stop this.
Right.
We cannot have the kingdom of God being rebuilt up. And so they come in, they question stuff and everything. And so here's where we pick up, it's kind of their response. And I actually kind of question here. It says, we question the elders and ask them. This is part of the letter that they wrote. And we ask, who authorized you to rebuild the temple and to finish it? We also ask them their names so that we could write down the names of their leaders for information. I'm going to stop right there for a few minutes. Don't kind of strike fear sometimes when somebody asks you who your name is? You're like, why you want to know my name? You know? Why you put me? I don't. So I work in a law field. Sometimes people would ask, like, well, what's your name? I'm like, I'm not the attorney. You don't need to talk to me no more. That's why I feel like you're talking more. But sometimes for people, it's easier for them to get to me than to get to that attorney. You know, and I have to tell them, hey, I send this long, big text when I'm done with my kind of investigation with my part. I said, look, here's your case number. Any further questions, you need to call the office at this number to inquire about your case. And then I put in big, bold letters, I am not your attorney, and I cannot give legal advice, medical advice, or my opinion. What do you think happens?
They call you.
God, nobody knows. They still call me. And what's your name? I can't. But when I read the scripture, I think of it sometimes, you know, I can imagine them like, you know, why you want to know my name? But it didn't bother them, because their next response is what stood out to me. In verse 11, it says, this is the answer they gave us. We are servants of the God of heaven and earth, and we are building the temple that was built many years ago, one that a great king of Israel built and finished. Their response was, well, you know, this person gave me authority. This leader gave me authority. We are servants of God. That's who has the authority. That's who gave us really the permission. But out of respect for their question, they say, hey, look, we're going to tell you who did it, and you can write to King Darius and inquire about it. But I want to ask them a question for you. What motivates you to build the church? Do you ever think about that? What's motivating you to continue to share the gospel, plant a seed, water a seed, and be a part of building the church? What motivation? That's a good one. Obedience, yeah? Obedience. Okay. You said purpose? Purpose? We got Gloria?
My sister Corey shared this movie with us called Nefarious. Mm-hmm. It's on Tubi. It's free, and I highly recommend everybody watch it. It's a great movie. So nobody you know will be in it.
Yeah.
But it's a really good storyline. Mm-hmm. And one of the things it talks about, it's about, I won't tell you the story, but the long story short is there's a demon in a man who's about to get executed for capital punishment. And this atheist psychiatrist is talking to him. And the demon is trying to get the psychiatrist to do some things. But in one of their exchanges, he tells the psychiatrist the whole satanic plan. And he says, look, in short, and I'm not going to say all of it, but what he basically says is, look, we know our time is short. We know what the ultimate outcome is, mm-hmm. because the carpenter, we misunderstood what the carpenter represented.
Uh-huh.
And when he died on the cross, that was the end for us. But, and by the way, they call that. But nonetheless, he said, what we have, the only thing we have left before the end is to make as many of you and remake as many of you in our image as we can, so we take as many of you to hell with us.
Wow, wow.
And I thought that was, it's the words of men, but it was a strong insight into the plan of the enemy. Mm-hmm. He's trying to take as many of us with him to hell as he can. And we are the soldiers that God has put on this earth to prevent that. What are we doing?
Wow.
And that right now is motivating me to say, you know, however large or small my effort is, what are you doing to keep Satan, to right. thwart his plan?
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Amen. Matthew?
I guess I just try to see, okay, what are, like, my strengths and gifts that I have. I think I want to use them, I mean, obviously, like, in the right way, which can church.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, I think knowing how important like encouragement, that how important encouragement is, and how that goes like a long way,
mm-hmm.
For people. Like I know that really strengthens people's faith.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that those are kind of one of the things that helps motivate me.
Okay.
But also I know I can have like not so good motivations to like fear. And like
mm-hmm.
not such a good motivator.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway.
Wow. Julia?
Someone shared a little quote with me once that God gifts us with, you know, our talents, our strengths,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. So he gifts us with that. And the way that we gift back to God is
mm-hmm.
how we use those,
mm-hmm.
and that pleases him. And I think for me, you know, I desire to show God my thanks, you know, my gratitude
mm-hmm.
by putting into action what he's gifted me with,
mm-hmm.
you know, in whatever small or big way I can.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like saying thank you to God is what motivates me to try to build the church.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Rich.
We are his home.
Mm-hmm.
We are his church.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a privilege and an obligation to build it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
The church was built here
mm-hmm.
in 2001.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
24 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The same obligation that was built then is the same one to build now. Go and make disciples of all nations.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're doing with the studies we're having with people.
Amen.
We're building through relationships.
Amen.
We're building through friendships.
Amen.
And we're going to build with baptisms.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
I'll share this. When I am motivated, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not always motivated,
yeah.
but when I am motivated, what really motivates me is remembering where Jesus found me,
mm-hmm.
and just how lost I was.
Mm-hmm.
And
you're taking it. It's okay. We can come back to you. I'll let your husband share. I'll let your husband share.
I just want to finish.
You finished? Okay. Okay.
Come back to it.
Okay. Okay.
But just the fact that he cared enough about me. He saw something in me. And all the people that rallied around and
mm-hmm.
prayed for me. I think that motivates me. When I think about it, when I remember and consider that, it motivates me to do that for other people.
Amen.
So that's pretty much it.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
Yeah. I would say fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know a lot of people think fear is a bad thing.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's a great motivator.
Amen.
You know, fear of failure, fear of my son going to hell.
Amen.
So I'm thinking if we build up the church enough, they'll run into a lot more disciples that you know, might be able to get them to, or they'll run into the exact right one, but obviously so far to Lucia and myself have not been that.
The Bible talks about
the fear is the beginning of wisdom.
Yep.
Amen.
The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So.
Mm-hmm. Amen. You know, the, oh, you want to say something, Scott? Oh.
No. Oh, oh. Said, Noah, you want to sit here?
Oh.
Want to take a seat? We saved it for you.
So, you know, so Judah traveled back, and of course, you know, Jerusalem, the temple, you know, is in ruin, and, you know, they face some opposition, you know, they got stopped for 15 years, and, you know, and here they are again being encouraged by God's prophets to say, hey, we need to keep the building going on. The temple was really broken, and it needed repair, mm-hmm. and sometimes our lives are like that, are broken and need repair.
Yeah.
And so, you know, my next question is, what motivates you to repair those broken areas in your life?
Say that one more time.
What motivates you to repair those broken areas in your life?
My relationship with both of my brothers is practically non-existent. Mm-hmm. Lately, it's been one of those times when I'm really trying to figure out how to reach out to them. You know, because we're actually going to be in Oregon, so I'm going to see at least one of them, hopefully. Mm-hmm. And they may be the only shot. I may be the only shot they have.
They do.
So that's for me to be able to build that and get more chances to share with them.
Amen. Amen.
When you say broken areas, I'm trying to think what is going to happen in relationship to the scripture that the temple is broken. And we, at that point, they had a building in the temple that God would be in his presence. Now, we are the temple.
Yeah.
And so, when I think of a broken temple, I think of those things in me that don't glorify or honor God. And my motivation for that is if I leave things broken, that messes with my witness. And messing with my witness has an impact on all those around me. So I, as a child of God and disciple who could never do anything enough to pay my Lord and Savior back for what he did for me. It is the least I can do to work on me so that I can be about his business. Being about his business is being an ambassador. And being an ambassador is being an example of what he was. So that's my motivation, is he gave me a purpose to be an ambassador, to be a witness, and that's the motivation.
Okay. Anybody else? What motivates you to repair those broken areas in your lives? Uh-huh.
I think Satan uses those broken areas sometimes to keep us focused on the brokenness and not on Jesus, not on our purpose. Mm-hmm. It just becomes something that we're focused on as opposed to what we need to be focused on.
Amen. 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 You know, the tribe of Judah, they were, a lot of them were excited to go back. Some had never even seen the temple built. There were older folks there who knew what it was like. So they were excited to repair what was broken. They were excited to restore what was broken. And I feel a lot of times we need to be that way. I want to share something with you here, guys, as we get close to closing. I did a little research, just kind of understanding. Want to understand, I guess, the definition of the kingdom and the church. So there are 195 countries and nations in this world today. While often used interchangeably, country and nations can have distinct meanings. A country typically refers to a defined geographic territory with its own government and borders. A nation, on the other hand, is often used to describe a group of people who share a common identity, such as culture, language, or ethnicity. A nation doesn't necessarily need to have its own state or country. These countries serve as temporary housing for believers. The kingdom of God is our country. The church is our nation. We need to know our history, know the value of it, and be prepared and preserve it as we build, I should say. Four things to remember here. We need to listen to God. That's what Judah did in order to leave out of Persia. They listened to God. Number two, we need to persevere through opposition. It's just a part of our journey. I love what Glory shared about the movie, a little bit about the movie Nefarious. Like, their job is to, they're basically the opposition. The demon is opposition. Anything to get us to stop building, anything they can do. We need to trust in God's timing and sovereignty. We just do. You know, sometimes, I don't know if some of you are like this, sometimes we can be anxious. God is taking too long. We can feel that way, where he at. Yet when God delivers, we're like, you're the best God in the world. Praise God. We're like that. And finally, we need to build with the community. We need to build. We cannot build alone. We need to build with the community we have here. We cannot build it alone. And guys, that's all I have. If anybody else wants to share anything before I pray for the community. Any thoughts? Anybody want to share?
Thank you.
That's awesome. All right, amen. Well, we're going to pray for the bread and the juice.
Don't forget to pray for the food because it smells really good.
No, I pray for the food. Yeah. We'll pray for the bread and juice first, and I'll double back and pray for that food and get some thoughts there. Here we go. Well, Father, we thank you for allowing us to just continue our journey through the book of Ezra, just based about how you help.